over on me. The time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour on this Friday, April 12th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We are going to have a history lesson here with Pastor Chatfield as soon as we get him connected into the studio board. And for some reason, let's see, he's not connecting, so let's try this. Pastor Chatfield, are you there? Nope. Okay, let's do this. So we'll get him added into the show this way. Sometimes we have technical difficulties, but we figure them out, and we greatly appreciate you guys standing by. Got a great history plan for us today. Abraham Lincoln, his favorite president of all time, his second inaugural speech is the lesson plan issue topic for today. So we will see if we can get him connected. There he is. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I wanted to have you explain your reason first, up front, about this particular lesson plan that you have for us. I know Abraham Lincoln is your favorite president of all time in the second inaugural address, but in this short segment here to tee this up, why did you choose to do this for today's lesson plan?
Three reasons. One, I'm tired of World War II. I'm tired of the Cold War. I want to get back to something. That's all I've been in our history classes. We've talked about World War One and Two and the Cold War and covered Korea. And we're studying Vietnam. I'd rather talk about Abraham Lincoln, too. Abraham Lincoln, I understand this. I understand this. I understand what he's saying. This is it's a theological, it's almost a sermon, what Lincoln's second inaugural address. It is. And I heard this General Keane say this again. And I've heard him say, he's a commentator in Fox News and a good guy, a conservative guy. But he keeps saying that, you know, with the thing with Iran and Israel, that Iran is not going to, they got to do something to retaliate against what Israel did, but they don't want a war. And there's not going to be a wider Middle East war, let alone World War III. He keeps repeating that. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's probably right, but he doesn't know that. He does not know that. Nobody could have expected a civil war in 1850. Nobody could have really expected a war before the election of Abraham Lincoln. Even after the election of Abraham Lincoln, Even after he gave his first inaugural address, nobody expected it.
So you're saying in March of 1860, when he gave his first inaugural address,
61.
I'm sorry. Correct. The election was 1860. It was March of 61, not January 20th like it is nowadays. He gave that speech in March of 1961, and you're saying there was nothing on the horizon for a where the South would secede from the Union and we'd have a civil war?
I'm not saying there was nothing on the horizon, but they still hoped to avoid the war.
Got it.
They still hoped to. And before his election, and I've read this numerous places, before 1859, no sane person would have said there's going to be a civil war. Nobody was predicting a civil war. You couldn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. And nobody wanted it. Things happen in history that you do not see coming. I'll use another illustration here. It's the French built the Maginot Line after World War I to protect themselves against a German attack. And it was like a fortification of tunnels along the German-French border for hundreds of miles, and they thought that they were safe. Nobody expected, here I'm back in World War II, nobody expected that after the Germans went and took the Netherlands and Belgium, they'd be in Paris in 6 weeks. Nobody expected that. Things happen in history you do not expect.
Good point to take a break. More information, more history. We'll be right back.
Had enough of career politicians? I have. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, running for U.S. Senate. It is time to cure Washington of politics as usual. I have the backbone, knowledge, and guts to fix illegal immigration, inflation, and national security. I will protect our freedoms. It is time we cure what ails America. Vote Dr. Sherry O'Donnell for U.S. Senate. Paid for by Dr. Sherry for Senate.
Hey, Patriots, Veteran John here in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth. MAGA water, PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, veteran-owned. Go to MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's MAGAwater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number two, as always on Friday, our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield, talking about history and nobody being able to predict, nobody seeing it on the horizon. And you know what's really interesting in listening to your comments about 1859, the election, November of 1860, the first inaugural address of President Abraham Lincoln in March of 1860. Sometimes God has a different plan. Sometimes,
exactly right.
Sometimes things just start happening, and in our human reality, we have to deal sometimes with his plan, not our plan.
That's what he says. That's what he says in this speech. The Almighty has his own purposes. That's exactly right. He says, let me start this, and you stop me any place you want to, Randy.
Absolutely.
At this second appearing to take the oath of the presidential office, there is less occasion for an extended address than there was at the first inaugural, in other words. Then a statement, somewhat in detail, of a course to be pursued seemed fitting and proper. Now, at the expiration of 4 years, during which public declarations have been constantly called forth on every point, in phase of a great contest which still absorbs the attention and engrosses the energies of the nation, little that is new could be presented. The progress of our arms, upon which all else chiefly depends, is as well known to the public as to myself. In other words, look, we got to win the war. In the end, you have to win the war. Now, you heard me teach on this. Politics, public opinion, Republican politics, national politics, the war, they're all intertwined. But you have to win the war. Okay, you have to win. And he says, I don't know any more about it than you do. Then he said, and it is, I trust, reasonably satisfactory and encouraging to all. Lee's on the run from Grant. He hasn't surrendered quite yet, but it's within weeks he's going to surrender in April, early April. He's on the run. The Confederacy is, you know, they've moved out of Richmond. The Confederacy's on its last legs. But he says it's satisfactory and encouraging to all. With high hope for the future, no prediction in regard to it is ventured. But I'm not going to make a prediction. I'm not going to predict. Lincoln was super intelligent, but he could see that. How can we make predictions? Second paragraph. Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address. On the occasion corresponding to this 4 years ago, all thoughts were anxiously directed to an impending civil war. All dreaded it. All sought to avert it. While the inaugural address was being delivered from this place, devoted altogether to saving the Union without war, insurgent agents were in the city seeking to destroy it without war, seeking to dissolve the Union and divide effects by negotiation. Both parties deprecated war. The South didn't want a war. They just wanted separation. They wanted separation. They were trying to negotiate. Nobody wanted to go to war.
And on that point, I want to stop you right there. Wanting to secede from the Union, basically to be saying, we want to be recognized as a separate country. Is that what basically seceding from the Union meant at that time?
Yes. Well, close to that, yes. When the first inaugural was given, seven states had already seceded.
Right.
But the larger states, especially Virginia, had not yet. And the idea of the Confederacy was they viewed individual states as a nation in and of themselves.
Got it. They were not United States of America. In their world, each state would theoretically be a country.
Right. And that's why they called themselves the Confederate States of America. It was a confederation, which was, remember, the Articles of Confederation was the United States' first plan of government, and it just wasn't strong enough. The South would have fallen apart or gone to a federal union like the North. If the South would have won, the Confederacy never would have lasted as is, because that type of government never lasts. It
right.
cannot last. It is not strong enough. Okay. And so Lincoln says, but one of them would make war rather than let the nation survive, and the other would accept war rather than let it perish.
Hmm.
And the war came. Implying there, and the war came. The South says, well, we'll make war if we have to. And the North said, we'll accept war if we have to in the war game.
Right. We'll deal with your war if that's what you want.
Yes. And both, especially Lincoln, he was maneuvering to make sure that the South fired the first shot, as they did. Mm-hmm. They fired on Fort Sumter out there in Charleston Bay there in South Carolina. Okay, third paragraph. 1/8 of the whole population were colored slaves, not distributed generally over the Union, but localized in the southern part of it. These slaves constituted a peculiar and powerful interest. All knew that this interest was somehow the cause of the war. Stop. Now listen to this, everybody. What was the cause of the war? If you forced me into a one-word answer, it was slavery. Even the most ardent Southerners, they would say it. They would say it even in their Constitution. Their whole idea was that slavery would be perpetual, and it's the very foundation of their country was based on slavery. They professed it. Now we have people that want to change history and tell us all slavery was just a minor issue. No, it was the fundamental issue that brought the war. Now, it is true that they wanted a Confederacy, not a federal union. That's true, too. And yet the South wanted lower tariffs or no tariffs. That's true, too. And there were some cultural differences. That's true. And economic differences. True. I mean, the South was more of an agricultural economy. They were not an industrial economy as the North was becoming. Those are all true. But fundamentally, the Civil War was caused by slavery. All knew that this interest was somehow the cause of the war. To strengthen, perpetuate, and to extend this interest was the object for which the insurgents would rend the Union even by war. While the government claimed no right to do more than to restrict the territorial enlargement of it. Let me stop and tell you something happened a couple weeks ago, a month ago. I was with some guys and whatever. They were even teachers, and they were telling me, they were talking, and they says, hey, well, Abraham Lincoln was an abolitionist. I said, whoa, Abraham Lincoln was not an abolitionist. He was not. He bent over backwards when campaigning in 1860 to say, I'm not an abolitionist. I don't feel like I have any constitutional, and he said it in his first inaugural very clearly, I don't have any constitutional authority to stop slavery where it already exists. It's mentioned three different times in the Constitution. He would say he deplored slavery, he hated it, but he was not an abolitionist.
We're going to stop you on that point. Donald Trump has come out this week and made a statement about abortion and said it's a state issue. It has to be dealt with per the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It sent it back to the states. And as president of the United States required, his only oath is to the U.S. Constitution. He's not obligated to state constitutions like state reps and state senators are. He is obligated to the U.S. Constitution. And as president of the United States, says very simply, it's a state issue. Is that kind of an analogy yes. that matches exactly what Abraham Lincoln was saying about slavery?
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I thought of that exact point. And frankly, may I just say there's nobody been out in front of, I shouldn't say nobody, there's very few people been in front of Planned Parenthood with signs protesting abortion, has preached against it more often than yours truly. Now that's
you have absolutely number one, 100% pro-life protesting in front of Planned Parenthood, especially the one in Petoskey, more so than any other human being on the planet, bar none. You are the award winner.
Well, I don't know about there's some people at the Catholic school there in Petoskey. They're very much opposed.
Oh,
to
yes.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And so be it. Good for them. My point is, that said, we've got to turn a little bit away from this. You can't make that the central issue of this presidential campaign. Please, don't.
Abortion, criticize. I told MERS News Service yesterday in my interview when I filed for the 104th House District as a Democrat, I told him that Governor Gretchen Whitmer has been beating this abortion horse to death.
Yeah, I heard you say that. Yes.
It's time to move on, people.
We have to.
And honestly, at this point, based on where we are at, especially here in Michigan, but like you say, nationally for the presidential race, what can we do about it at this point? Abortion.
Right. I agree with you.
It's in our state constitution now. We cannot do anything other than trying to, again, put another ballot proposal, a referendum together to take it out of our state constitution, which is almost theoretically impossible. It's never going to happen.
Actually, if there was a referendum that some I'm pro-life. I don't know how many times I get to say this, but I got to face some reality also. I'm pro-life. If we tried to get one of those things on the ballot, I don't bet, Randy. But yep. I would guess that the left would give us a lot of money secretly to put it on the ballot, so they could whip it again and whip us again on other issues and other candidates. You see, you can't do that. Right. Sorry, that's just political reality. Yep. And by the way, that's what Lincoln was saying in his first inaugural. That's exactly what he was saying. All right. To strengthen, perpetuate, and extend this interest with the object for which the insurgent would rend the Union, even by war, while the government claimed no right to do more than to restrict the territorial enlargement of it. That's all he said, because that was done way back at the Northwest Ordinance of 1789. The founders believed that the federal government could restrict abortion's growth into new territories. That's all he said. He was not an abolitionist. He did take a Donald Trump type statement there. By the way, that's why the abolitionists were not crazy about Lincoln. They were not crazy about Lincoln. Compromiser. Yeah. They probably would have said to him, "Rhino." I don't know.
Sure.
That's probably what they would have said. Neither party, North or South, neither party expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which it has already attained. Neither anticipated that the cause of the conflict might cease with or even before the conflict itself should cease. In other words, nobody expected the Emancipation Proclamation. They didn't expect how terrible the war would be. They didn't expect the Emancipation Proclamation. Lincoln didn't expect it. It kind of grew on him.
Right.
Here's something that's interesting. The slaves themselves could see that this war was about slavery before most of the rest of the Union could see it. They could see it. They kind of understood, wait a minute here. This
man is fighting for our freedom.
They could see it. They could see it before he saw it.
Yes.
They could.
Well, until the point, like you say, the proclamation, Emancipation Proclamation, until they actively got involved in actually picking up arms and fighting for that freedom, was the major paradigm shift in the war, wasn't it?
It was important. It was important. And they wanted to fight. And listen to me. Please believe this. The freed slaves, the vast majority of them loved America. You say, well, how could they love America? They were slaves. Hey, when they got their freedom, they loved America. They wanted to put the American uniform on. They wanted to serve. They did. So you'd have to believe me or study it out yourself.
Amen. Bottom of the hour news break. I'm Chucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Chatfield. We're your defending fathers. History lesson today. We'll be right back.